the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Well, welcome to episode 8 of the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. My name is Andrew. I'm the lead pastor here. And with me is Don, our associate pastor. And so the point of this podcast is to be very practical. As we seek to follow Jesus, we just want to just make it, how do you actually do this in this world? In 2016, wherever you may be living as you listen to this, how do you actually follow Jesus in the culture that we live in? And so last week, we kind of started unpacking different worldviews. And so just as a reminder, you know, a worldview is like a lens through which you view the world, basically, and it answers questions of why we're here, what is the purpose of life, where are we going, and it really does affect how you live your life. And so we won't go into great detail, but we kind of covered some of the major worldviews of our day, rationalism and even evolution and relativism and kind of the New Age spirituality, and then talked about a biblical worldview. Now, for the next few weeks or months or whatever, we said we wanted to say, okay, well, how does a biblical worldview affect specific areas of our life? And so this morning we want to talk about work. And to start it off, I thought it would be good to just hear some stories of jobs that we've had and how we viewed work growing up. So I don't know, Don, tell us about some of the jobs that you have had or what your view of work has been or, yeah, growing up or even now. And you better say you love your job now.
I love my job. My boss is awesome. He's the most gracious, giving guy I've ever. That should be good for a couple months.
Yep.
No, I've always actually enjoyed work. I grew up on a small hobby farm, so it included all kinds of different jobs, including cleaning out the poop out of the barn, and some of those were kind of stinky jobs, but hauling bales off the field. I remember, you know, after a long day of hauling bales, coming home on the hay rack, riding on the back or on the top there, heading home for the last load. One of my first jobs was in southern Manitoba was actually catching chickens. And that was between 13 and 15, 16. We'd basically go to a chicken barn. There'd be 10,000 chickens in the barn. And we'd go in there basically after dark, catch, you know, seven at a time, bring them to the window, and it would take about 2 hours. But at that time, we were getting $15 an hour, so we'd make 30 bucks.
Wow.
That was back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s. That was big money. And
wow,
so, but it was
a dirty
job. But I always loved it. I knew we were going to get paid well, and we'd, you know, there'd be about eight of us. And I always loved, I mean, I've been a carpenter for 25 years before I took up this pastor position. Always loved the physical work, working outside. Of course, there were days when it was cold, it was wet, wasn't as fun as it could be. But overall, I actually enjoyed the physical labor. So those are some of the jobs.
Now, what did you like? You just liked the sense of accomplishment or the paycheck, or what was it about it? Because that's those, to me, those sound like terrible jobs. I would hate that.
I always felt like catching the chickens. It was always, you know, when the barn was empty, it was such a accomplishment that all 10,000 chickens are loaded and headed to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then, yeah, we'd get paid and eat all the donuts we could want, and you know, just it just seemed like everybody was in a good mood after, except for one or two, but overall,
yeah,
I don't know, it was just a accomplishment. We got the job done, and the farmer he handpicked his guys, and it was just, for me, it was kind of cool that he picked my brother and I to always do his barns, because he liked the way we worked, he liked our attitude, and of course that felt good as a young guy that, you know, this guy liked the way you did this, and he always brought you back. So some of those things, just accomplishment, you know, the good job, at the end of it was big for me. Some of the other jobs like carpentry, even, you know, doing a good job. And as you drive away, of course, in construction, you can see progress in a few days. And you look back as you're driving off the driveway, it's just, you see a nice roof, clean lines, like it looked good. And yeah, just satisfaction in a job well done. You've earned your pay that day. Hmm. Just kind of stuff like that.
Awesome. Yeah. My first job, I remember when I was in grade six, my parents were of the mindset of, you don't get an allowance. If you want something, go get a job. And, so I remember in grade six, the city would pay young people to pick a street and then pick up garbage. And I think it was $10 a week. And so we kind of, me and my sister had our street, Prestwick Drive. I remember that in Ottawa. And every week after school, once a week, we would go and grab our garbage bags and just pick up garbage for, I don't know how, six or seven or eight blocks, and then get $10 a week. And so we did that for a couple years. And honestly, I hated it. Because as being a young, I don't know how old you are in grade six, 10, 11 or whatever. But like after school, that's the last thing in the world I wanted to do is go and grab a garbage bag and pick up garbage. But we did it and my parents made us stick to it. And the best was, yeah, when you got that $10 or whatever from the city, you can go to the candy store and whatever. After that, got a paper route. And my dad, it was awesome. My dad actually helped me with my paper route. He said, okay, I'm going to make you do this, but I'll give you a hand. And, there, like a year or two into it, we were delivering like 500 papers twice a week. And this is a funny story. Cause on Fridays we would get all the flyers for the ad bag and then stuff, cause you had to stuff them all. And then Saturday morning. So I would get kind of tricky and invite friends over for a sleepover and say, hey, so do you want to, I'm a terrible friend. Do you want to come over on Friday and sleep over at my house? Sure. And oh, and then when they got there, by the way, we're stuffing 500 newspapers and do you want to help me? So I could only do that once. And so I kind of went through my friend group and then didn't have any friends at the end of it. And then actually my first kind of, I guess it was a real job delivering papers, but what I viewed as my first real job was at a gas station. There was a full serve gas station in town. And so I pumped gas for 2 years, in high school. And I actually really loved that job because for me, they gave us, okay, so you're going to pump gas, you're going to serve customers, but here's a list of cleaning and stocking and everything you have to do every shift. And I'm very much a list, like I have to accomplish it kind of thing. And we've talked, like I'm competitive and I would always try and finish it super fast and like do it so well. And I loved that job because it was like a challenge in between customers that came in. You had to go and empty all like the 15 garbage cans on the lot and then stock all the windshield washer fluid and then run back and try and serve the. So it was just, I thought it was awesome. It was one of my favorite jobs. And then, yeah, throughout university, just kind of did odd jobs here and there of different factories and shift work. And, yeah, I was never a fan of, like, hard labor, which is probably why I'm a pastor. But that was kind of my view of work. And I'm so glad that my parents, you know, despite the fact that I didn't really like it, it was, well, if you want to buy stuff, like, we're not going to hand you out. Here's some cash. You need to get a job. And I think even I remember my dad gave me like a loan for a basketball net and then I had to pay him back from my picking up garbage. It was awesome.
Way to go, Dad.
So I don't know. Today we want to talk about a biblical view of work because really I think the large majority of people on the planet will have a job at some point in their lives. And so we want to go, okay, so for Christian people, how do you view work? I don't know, Don, in your experience being in carpentry, what would you say is our culture's view of work? Is it a necessary evil? Is there fulfillment and joy, or is it just something you have to do? I don't know if you've seen different views of work from a non-Christian view, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think as being a carpenter for a longer time, I think there was, for the most part, a willingness to work and find satisfaction in it. I think as I got on in the last 5 to 10 years, I think as it seemed to be a general pattern where the view of work kind of changed, where you know, you try to do as little work as possible maybe and try to get the most money you could, and you know, try to spend as much time doing other things rather than work. So yeah. I think there was a shift over the years where work was a good thing for the most part to where work is a necessary evil.
Yeah.
You got to do it to buy stuff. Yep. And
get the highest paying job for the least amount of work.
Yeah.
So that you can just have fun with the rest of your
life.
Yeah.
And often I know working for some of the bigger companies, you know, you'd have some of the younger people wanting raises right away and get more pay. And, you know, the boss would try to explain, hey, you got to put in some time here before you get a raise or you get more. And we're like, what?
I've been here for 2 days.
Yeah. And so that was, I don't know, that general, you know, instant gratification thing,
yep.
You know, kind of butted heads with the reality of work.
Yeah.
Where you had to, you know, work and earn. And, I told my daughter, maybe she'll listen to this. One of the things I told her in one of her first jobs was, if you have a good attitude and actually put a good effort in, you'll be miles ahead of most of the other people and you yep. won't have to clean bathrooms very long. And she said later on, it was such good words, or great to hear. She said, Dad, you're right.
Yep.
It worked. So yeah, it's about attitude. But yeah, definitely over the years, there was just a general shift you could start to see happening towards work.
Yeah. Well, to start off then with a biblical worldview of work, and we'll just kind of toss it back and forth. Is work part of the original plan, or do we have to work because of sin in the world? I don't know. I'm going to throw that out to you. Like, because if there's so much dissatisfaction with work or people trying to get out of work, like, was that God's intention from the beginning that we would work and work hard? Or was that because Adam and Eve messed up and sinned and now we have to work? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion there where work came from and how do we go about that? But we were actually just reviewing that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that work was actually part of God's plan right from the beginning. He created us to have dominion over the world, to go out, take care of it, rule it. Yep. And Adam had jobs of taking care of the garden in the beginning, naming the animals. So God had intended work to be there right from the beginning as a good thing and something he created for us to do.
Yeah.
But I think where we get confused is after the fall, we read, you know, there's going to be thorns, thistles,
yeah.
things are going to rust, things are going to break down,
yeah.
and work is going to have a lot of resistance and conflict in it. So to find that joy and original meaning of it, there's going to be challenges. So yeah, in there we kind of get confused sometimes.
Yeah, I think too, some Christians believe that work is a necessary evil. It's just something we have to do to pay the bills and... but yeah, like Don said, when you read Genesis 1 and 2, it's just fascinating. Well, first of all, the fact that God, yes, he created things by just speaking them, but it's fascinating that he did it in days, 6 days. He did it in stages. It wasn't just like, I create everything and then everything was done. He created light and separated light and darkness, called the light day and called the dark. And then it says that it was evening and there was morning the first day. And then you go through the 6 days and you see God, yes, speaking things into existence, but he does it in a certain order. And then it's fascinating that on the seventh day he rests. And it's not as if God is tired. It's not like, oh man, creating really drained me. Like I need to, I think he was actually ingraining in us a work ethic that you work hard and you rest. And then it's fascinating. I'll read some of those verses that Don mentioned. So God creates man And he says this in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then later down in 28, it says, "God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing.'" So right away there is this expectation. Okay, God says, I made the earth, I filled it with everything. And then he says, right, God could have been the one having dominion over the and making sure everything ran smoothly. And he does in his sovereignty, but he put people there and he said, okay, I want you to do that. You're my representatives. You're made in my image. I want you to work and to take care of my creation. And I love even in Genesis 2:5, it says, when no, because Genesis 1 is kind of an overview, and then Genesis 2 is, okay, here's the specifics of God creating man. And so Genesis 2:5 says, "When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground." So again, there's that image of working the ground. And to me, man, that sounds hard. Like, that's hard work. I think of farming and working the ground sounds hard and dirty. And yet God, that was before the fall. And even in Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." And then, like Don said, Adam named the animals. That was part of his job. So you really do see work and a work ethic, and it, like, the goodness of it was there before the fall. Like, God didn't create Adam and Eve and say, "Here's a couch, just sit and relax and enjoy my creation." No, he said, "I want you to work it. I want you to work the ground. I want you to take care of the animals." Like, when you think of having dominion over all the animals, like, that's hard. Mm-hmm. Like, taming wild horses and having dominion over all of the animals, like, that's tough work. And so that's what God's work ethic is right away, that it's actually a good thing. And actually, when you think about, and maybe Don, you can speak to this too, the actual, and you did a bit when you talked about the sense of accomplishment. I think for women too, but I'm not one, so I can't speak for them. But for a man, when you work hard and you and then you're done and you're exhausted, there's a sense of like you've done something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't know many lazy men who find satisfaction in that. I don't. I like when you talk to guys who are just lazy and they don't want to work and they're just, you know, or they go from job. Like, there's no satisfaction in that. The guys that seem to me, and from my experience of working, the guys that seem to be most fulfilled are the ones that are out there working hard, providing for their families, laying their life on the line.
Over the, you know, 25 years or whatever in construction, that's been quite clear to me. The guys that aren't working or putting out, they're generally the ones that are complaining about not getting enough money, and if I'm going to work hard, I want more, and just generally a negative, life sucking attitude. Pardon the S word there, but it is that way. But the guys that do work hard and put out, there is a sense of accomplishment. Whether they use it selfishly or for other people, it's still, I earned this. I worked hard for this.
Yeah.
And in a sense, I think it's kind of like God, when he was done his creation, he looked at it and said, "This is very good." Like, he had that sense of accomplishment. And as he rested from completing his work, he kind of had the same thing. Like, it's very good. Yep. He looked at it and he was pleased with what he did. So I think that's kind of the same kind of thing there.
No, I agree. Yeah. And even like I guess not a hobby, but like my kind of, something I love to do is yard work and gardening and that kind of stuff as like a relaxed thing. But that's the same kind of thing. And Molly doesn't understand that. She's like, "What, you like doing that?" But like when you mow the lawn and you pull weeds and you do that, and at the end of the day you look at it, it's, I think I get that same kind of like, man, you feel good. My back aches and like my muscles are sore and you worked hard and you're sweaty and dirty, but you just go, man, that like you accomplished something. There's that sense of good pride, not bad pride, but like good, like, man, look what I did. This is great. So work is not a necessary evil. According to the biblical worldview, work is a good thing. I don't know, Don, you had some verses too about how God actually gives us skills to work. So why don't you maybe touch on that for a second before we talk about some of the effects of the fall?
Yeah, like in the Old Testament, this is kind of one of my favorite verses when it comes to work in Exodus, where the Israelites have left Egypt and they're getting instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And it's just interesting what happens here. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge, and all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you." I just find it very fascinating that God gave these men, the Spirit of God, the ability and knowledge to work with stone, wood, to make beautiful things, to make practical things. And for some of us think that, well, building with wood or stones is kind of, it's not really a spiritual thing. But it's interesting that God gave them the ability to do this work and to do it well, to work on some of these things. So yeah, it's a God thing that he gives us individual skills and ability to work, to do things. So that is a God thing.
Yeah, and I think that points to different people's passions and skills. Like for me, I have no desire to be a carpenter and that kind of stuff. Just thinking about it frustrates me because I don't think God's wired me that way or given me those skills. And I think, yeah, you can learn them and do it fine. But I think you can see the difference when someone is kind of operating in their sweet spot where you go, man, they just love what they do. And God has clearly given them skills to do it, which is amazing because throughout the Old Testament, you see that God specifically gives people skills and including stuff that we might go, really, God does that? Like woodworking and working with metal. And so they're building the tabernacle and God specifically says, here are the people that I've given skills to do this. So we know that work is good, but maybe let's spend a little bit talking about, well, why does it not always feel great or what happened? Obviously the fall happened. So how does the fall affect our work?
It can be just frustrating that you're constantly fixing or rebuilding or things break down and it can get frustrating. You want to do something nice, do a good job. And then, you know, whatever you're doing, chances are you're going to have to redo it or fix it or that can get frustrating. And our human limitations, we get tired, we get, you know, stressed out sometimes. Sometimes things happen where jobs don't go well and things, you end up with a bit of a disaster or a financial setback. Those are all things part of that fall, I think, that can make work frustrating, and those are times where you can really feel like, what is the point, or what are we doing this for?
Yep.
And you get frustrated.
Like when you read Genesis 3, specifically when God speaks to Adam, he says, Genesis 3:17, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I've commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And you just go, man, that sounds so depressing. But I think that's how our work has been affected because of the fall. I think it removed maybe some of the joy and some of the, you know, it's almost like God is saying your work is going to be a lot harder now because of, like, right? God says, I'm going to put you in the garden, Adam, to work it, work the ground, to keep it. And now he says, well, because you sinned against me, cursed is the ground and thorns and thistles, and you're going to be, you know, working at it by the sweat of your brow, and then you'll die, basically. So I think the actual earth is affected by the fall, and it can make our work seem, like Don said, sometimes just pointless, and you go, what are we doing? And it's funny, like, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is kind of wrestling with this. He starts by saying, you know, I pursued self-indulgence and the party scene, and that was meaningless. I pursued riches, and that was meaningless. And then in chapter 2, he says that he actually pursued work. And I'm just going to read a few verses because it's fascinating, because he, thousands of years ago, is saying the exact same thing. Man, my work just seems so pointless. And you can read it and you go, man, I think Solomon was a little depressed when he wrote this. But he goes, I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also vanity. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? All of his days are full of sorrow. His work is a vexation, which I think is frustrating. His work is frustrating. Even in the night, his heart doesn't rest. This is vanity. And then I love, oh, poor Solomon. There's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. So it's just like, oh, man, you can just hear it. Like, he, and the whole point of the book of Ecclesiastes is that life without Jesus, without God, is meaningless. And so he's saying, I just tried to pursue all these things. And even work was just frustrating. There was no sense of fulfillment. And he just sounds so depressed. I think that because of the fall, work, there can be a sense of pointlessness to it at times. You just go, what are we doing? Like, you build a house and then it falls apart and you have to rebuild it, and you just go, it's like almost that cycle. You cut the grass and then it grows again and you have to recut it. It's just, it can have this sense of, why are we doing this again? Yeah. And it can seem fruitless at times too. You work and you go, man, what did I just spend my day? Like, I don't see any type of fruit that came from that. So you can see that some people would say, work has got to be evil because it just feels so draining and broken. And you go, well, yeah, read Genesis 3, and it is because of sin. Work, I think, now has those elements of a sense of maybe fruitlessness or pointlessness at times. Do you have anything else maybe that how the fall has affected the way we view work or how we work?
Yeah, no, I think that's basically covered it. Just especially if we look horizontally, or we really want to get our self-worth or, you know, out of work.
Yeah.
There's times where that can, you know, people do find that satisfaction, but over the long run, they, like Solomon, they eventually look back like, is that it?
Hmm.
Or like Solomon, he was concerned about who he was going to leave all his projects to. I mean, he said it could be a worthless son who just, you know, waste it all, or it could be someone that uses it. And so he wrestled with that, like, who's going to get this when I'm gone? And he's just really wrestled with just the horizontal part of it. Then, yeah, you could easily get depressed because if there's no lasting value, or you're putting your worth into it, then, yeah, it could get pretty frustrating.
Yeah, and I think, too, for a lot of people, work becomes an idol. Their identity, and you know, at the sake of family or their relationship with Jesus, it just becomes like, I this is my idol. I worship work. I work way too much. You even think of in Genesis 11 about the Tower of Babel. It was, you know, or Babel, however you say it, but it was selfishness. They wanted to build this tower. They wanted to work to make a name for themselves. And that's why God, you know, frustrated their plans. But I read that and I go, man, that sounds like so many guys I know. I'm going to work to make a name for myself. and my identity, my self-worth is caught up in how good of a worker I am, that I'm proving my worth by how hard I work. And so you can see, like, sin really did fracture that goodness of work. So I don't know, should we just end and be depressed, or what is a...
No way, we can't do that.
But what is a biblical... I don't know, how do we, as followers of Jesus, I don't think we... The point is just, well, we just kind of tough it out, and then when Jesus returns, work will be meaningful again. Because I'm actually of the mindset that in heaven, we are going to work, because it's going to be a restored Eden, and I think that we're going to have jobs. I don't think it's just going to be sitting around. I think we're going to bring glory to God through working. But so what? Like, do we just wait till that? Or I don't know, how do Christians redeem?
You hit it right there, bringing glory to God. I think we work today to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
A couple things that really helped me in my work to put meaning in work was something like God, even after the fall, he was constantly building, rebuilding, restoring. He's doing that right to the last day. So for us, you know, our wide range of work, we build, we restore, rebuild. It's kind of doing what God is doing, bringing glory to him, doing the same things. And especially if it's for, you know, the benefit of your family or others, I mean, that brings glory to God to do that. So I had one other thought, but it disappeared.
But yeah, I think... we are in the business of reconciliation and restoration. Like, obviously, you know, the gospel, it starts with the creation. The fall is the bad news. Redemption of Jesus dying, that's the good news. And then restoration is, yes, it's future, but like Jesus also said, you know, my kingdom is here. And I think that he is, like Don said, in the process of restoring. And you think that we're called to partner with him. So you think, you know, a counselor, their job, they are restoring or helping restore marriages and relationships. People who do projects and city planners and people, like, you're restoring the beauty of a city and helping a city flourish. Policemen, you're restoring justice and order. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, like, whatever your work is, you are, if you are following Jesus, you're partnering with him in that act of restoration, hoping for that day when Jesus returns and everything is fully restored. And that just gives incredible meaning to your work. I think a follower of Jesus has such an advantage because they view their work through the eyes of eternity, and it has way more significance than just the here and now or someone who just... has no view of eternity. It's just, well, yeah, this is just what I kind of do to pay the bills.
Yeah, I know, like for me, building a house or fixing a car, for some people, you think, well, there's no spiritual value in that, but I think there is. I think it's part of our made in God's image to be able to fix a car or build a house and appreciate it and to like how it looks, like to see a new kitchen all nice. It's part of God's image in us, and we do it to the best of our ability. And like I read in Exodus there, we have, you know, God giving people skill to work in stone, wood, and they built things. They didn't necessarily do something, you know, spiritual, but they did it for God's glory to the best of their ability. And just knowing that God is pleased with that.
Yeah.
That we did a good job, and then we actually enjoy it. We like what the final product looks like.
Yeah,
I think that's a God thing to be able to enjoy that and do it for his glory.
Yeah, and so, the fact that God gives us creativity and brains and critical thinking and knowing how to problem solve. Yeah. Like, I think when we do those type of things, and, you know, even I think of, you know, many Christians view technology as maybe, oh, we're dabbling in. And yes, there's aspects of technology that you go, man, it's used for such terrible evil. But I think Christians can redeem even something like technology where we go, wow, the fact that a human mind could come up with that, like, Where did that come from? That came from God giving them that ability. And you go, wow, that's unbelievable when you look at the type of technology we have. I think there's no sector of work that a Christian, it's not like you would say, well, I have a job that you cannot redeem and that you can't use for gospel purposes. I don't think that job exists. Even like Martin Luther talked about a stay-at-home mom, like that's an incredibly hard job. And he says, so can a mom change a diaper to the glory of God? He says, when, you know, when this baby is screaming and you have to change a poopy diaper, like, can a mom do that to the glory of God? And he says, yes. When you think that God has given you this human being to take care of, and so you do the best that you can with that child, and you worship as you change, and it seems so weird to be worshiping God and bringing him glory while you change a dirty diaper. But he's saying, if you do that with a servant heart and you're serving Jesus and you're taking care of his creation, of course you can do that. Yeah. Or even he talked about a street sweeper, right? I think that was Charles Spurgeon, because that was kind of the lowest job. They just sweep the dirty streets. And he said, man, he should be sweeping the streets as if they were, you know, the streets of heaven themselves, that he is going to do his best to make his street the cleanest of all. Like, that's kind of the work ethic that you go, there is no job that is not redeemable under the gospel.
Yeah. And God finds great delight when we do that in the menial jobs, when we're doing it, you know, with good attitude and good motive. God is pleased, and that's scriptural, that God is pleased with that kind of attitude towards work. So you might, nobody else might appreciate it, but God sees that and he is glorified by it and pleased with it. So.
Yeah. And I think for those listening, maybe who, or even I think back to some of my jobs that you go, man, I hate my job. I hate that I have to do this. You know, even some people who maybe, oh, this is so beneath me. I can't wait till I can get, to understand that if you, believing the gospel should change your attitude towards your job, that, yeah, you know what, you might not love it and it might not be the most, but when you view it in the eyes of eternity and that you are doing your absolute best, I think that brings such joy and fulfillment to even some of these menial jobs that we might just go, man, someone's got to do it. Another aspect too, when you think of Ephesians 6, so how do we view work? I mean, Paul talks about bond servants or slaves and masters, but I think it refers and it can speak to bosses and employees. And he speaks to this. He says, so I'm going to read it. So when you hear bond servant, think employee. And when you hear master, think boss, because that's kind of our context. So bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. I love this. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants or employees of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good work knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. I love that. Don't just work just so you get a raise, just to kiss up to your boss, just, you know, work hard only when your boss is looking. Paul just basically blew that out of the water and said, actually, Jesus is your boss, and he's always watching. So you work hard, even when your earthly boss isn't looking. You work hard. And then he says to bosses, masters, do the same to them. Stop threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. I love that. You know, the gospel speaking to bosses and employees, that we work hard, we work for Jesus, and that bosses, you treat your employees with respect, knowing that Jesus is your boss.
Yeah.
Like, that just gives incredible value to work, even some of the menial tasks. We are like almost at 40 minutes. I don't know, any last thoughts?
Just encourage you to, you know, if you're having trouble with your attitude with work, just seek God to help change your attitude. And even something that was really important to me was, you know, even just your integrity and how you view work. God says the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Wow. So God delights in integrity and honesty and in hardworking people.
Yeah. Yeah, and to leave you, there's a great book by Timothy Keller, and it's called Every Good Endeavor, Connecting Your Work to God's Work. Fantastic book about all of this, basically, and he goes into just much more detail. But how do you do this? Because really, like, if you're driving a truck, or if you're a landscaper, or if you're a banker, to start asking those questions, okay, how do I use my job to bring glory to God? To really wrestle with that, and then, yeah, work hard and work for Jesus and redeem those types of jobs. So, yeah, that's a great book that I would encourage you to pick up that goes into a bit more detail. I hope this has been helpful, and we will talk to you next week.